brand new series entitled Gifted. Now, all of us know people who are gifted. You know, they might be a sports hero that we had. You know, my favorite was Roberto Clemente, best baseball player that ever lived, in my opinion. They might be sports heroes. They might be talented actors or actresses, or they might be communicators. But we all know people who have exceptional gifts in particular areas. And come on, be honest. Sometimes, you know, we think of those people, and aren't we just a little bit jealous at times? You know, we think, man, if I could just have some of that, there is so much that I could do. The problem is while we're looking at that and we're thinking about that, often we miss the gifts and the talents that we do have and that we can use if God, if we would just give ourselves over to God. We just don't do it. Now, Paul, this is nothing new. Paul, writing about this some 2,000 years ago in the first century, wrote and gave us some ideas. And I want you to know something. God has a plan for you, and it doesn't include sitting on the bench cheering other people on. He wants all of us to get into the game. Now, our text this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. If you have your Bible, you might want to turn there. There's one in the pew in front of you if you want to look it up, or you can look up here because we're going to project it for you to see just as much. And, you know, in his opening remarks to the book of Corinthians, actually Paul says something very interesting to this group of people. He says, "For in him you have been enriched in every way." Now, this is not in 12. We're kind of back in 1 for just a minute. "For in him you have been enriched." That's in Christ Jesus. "He has made sure that you have the gifts that you need to serve in the way that he has for you to serve." In other words, every church has all of the people that it needs to do what God has called it to do. Now, the thing is you are part of that process, okay? And so Paul then, going in our text, says this. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. We are all unique. We're all different. We were never meant to be the same. He said, there are different kinds of gifts. He says, but the same Spirit who distributes them. You are unique. I am unique. All of us have different roles in the body to fulfill. Now, that word gifts, by the way, reminds us that it's something that we don't deserve. The actual word there is charismata, and it means grace gifts, something that we have that God has given us, a supernatural ability, different from your talents, different from your perhaps normal abilities, but a supernatural ability that God has given us for the purpose of service. And he puts it together just as once. And here's what I know. Just because you are not like your hero doesn't mean that you're a zero. Just because you're not like somebody else that you kind of admire and say, boy, I wish I could do that. I wish I could teach like that. I wish I could speak like that. I wish I could do that. Doesn't mean that you can't do that. You know, there are many who refuse to use the gifts that God has given them because they're unhappy with the gift. You know, they wanted something else. And so it's kind of like, you know, wow, I didn't want that. And so because they have what they don't want, they feel kind of unqualified. They refuse to serve. A number of years ago, there was an evangelist, a traveling evangelist. His name was Gypsy Smith. How he got the name Gypsy, I don't know, because he was from England. But Gypsy Smith, and he traveled all across the United States. And one day, he was traveling across the United States, and a farmer came up to him after one of his meeting, and he said, Mr. Smith, and this guy, you know, kind of stuttered a little bit. He wasn't that eloquent. And he said, God has called me to preach. And Gypsy Smith said to him, he said, how do you know God has called you to preach? And the farmer said, well, I was out in my field, and he said, I was doing some work, and I saw in the clouds these letters, GPC. And that meant, go preach Christ. And Gypsy Smith looked at the guy, and he said, how do you know it didn't mean go plow corn? You know, wise statements. Just because you have a desire to do something doesn't mean necessarily you've been called to do it. Years ago, there was a lady in a church in Wisconsin. True story. And, you know, she had been in this church all her life. Her family had been in this church. And she was one of the soloists, actually. She liked to sing solos. She would get up. You know, every Sunday she'd go to the pastor every once in a while and she'd say, "Pastor, you know, I have a special number that I want to do." So they would announce the special number because they would like merch churches anywhere. You know, she's got the desire. She's got a little bit of willingness. You know, okay, her voice is really suited for choir, not for solos. But it's the desire that counts. And so people would suffer through her solos. Eventually, a new pastor came to the church. And after a couple of weeks of this, it came time for Sister Mary Margaret to sing. And before she could get up and do her special music, which was listed in the bulletin, before she could get up and do her special music, the pastor jumped up, got behind the pulpit, and said, "We will now be featured with some mediocre music by Sister Mary Margaret." You could have heard a pin drop. Pastors don't say that. But I want to tell you something. This is a true story, by the way. Stuart Briscoe told me this story. And he said he's the one that did it. It was the most loving thing that he could do. Because she was serving in an area where she really wasn't qualified to serve in. And people were suffering through her service. And we need to be aware of that. Just because you love to do something doesn't mean necessarily you are called to do it. I would love to sing solos. You would hate to hear me sing solos. And I know that for a fact because every once in a while the sound people forget to turn me off in the foyer when we're singing in the choir and they get to hear me do a solo. And I can always tell when they have forgotten to turn me off and I get to do the solo because the ushers come running in with this panic look on their face. You don't want to hear me sing. As much as I would like to sing, that is not something that God has called me to do. I might have the desire, but I don't have the ability. And just because you have the desire to do something doesn't mean that you have the ability or that you're called to do it. You need to find a place to serve where God has gifted you. Now, he says there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Now, this was an area of contention for the Corinthian Christians because the Corinthian Christians had gotten in a battle. If you look through the rest of chapter 12, you'll see they were kind of arguing back and forth about who would get to serve what. You know, they all wanted to be this part. They all wanted to do this part. They wanted the spectacular gifts, the ones that would set them apart. And they wanted to choose when and how they would serve. And they didn't want anyone telling them, "No, this is not a good fit for you." And they didn't even want God telling them that. So that's why Paul has to write this particular letter, this particular chapter of this particular letter. You know, there's a man by the name of Michael Wiggins. And he writes an article called "The Heart of a Coach." And I don't normally do this, but I need to read this to you because it's really good. He writes this. He said, "The Boston Red Sox saw little potential for their 24-year-old pitcher. He had a couple of decent years, but he showed little signs of improvement. Eventually, the team traded him to the New York Yankees, who decided to move him to the outfield to utilize his strong arm. The Yankees also believed that he could become a good hitter, and they were right. Years later, few people remember that Babe Ruth began his career as a mediocre pitcher in Boston." Michael goes on to say this, "Different athletes are blessed with different skills and physical traits, and each makes them more effective in some positions than in others. A football player who is 5'10" may be a tremendous running back, but he would struggle as a wide receiver. It is vitally important for a coach to find the position that allows the athlete to use his or her skills to the fullest. Athletes in the wrong position may still perform adequately, but they will never reach their full potential. And Coach Wiggins goes on, Christians must also find the right position. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12 that different Christians are given different gifts. For example, some are gifted teachers while others are gifted administrators. There are few joys in life as great as using our gifts in God's service. Conversely, there are few frustrations as great as attempting to serve in an area in which we are not gifted. But when the right talent is matched to the right job, great things happen. As Christians, we should never feel compelled to work in an area in which we are not gifted. Rather, we should wait on the Lord and His counsel. God will give us the opportunity and the grace through Christ Jesus to use the gift He has given us. We all need to identify our gifts and find the right place to use them. Now, that's great stuff. And that's basically what Paul's telling us in our text. As a matter of fact, he goes on in our text, and he says, there are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, the same God is at work. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this. You know, we talk about spiritual gifts, and when we talk about spiritual gifts, you know, we always talk about the Holy Spirit. But I want you to see something. In these verses, verses 4, 5, and 6, God is saying, Paul is saying through the guidance of the Spirit, he is saying that the triune God is involved in this process. It's not just the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in verse 4, the Son is in verse 5, and the Father is in verse 6. I don't know if you've ever stopped and thought about that before. There is a unity of the source of gifts. They come from the throne of grace. And there is a unity of purpose. Of these gifts, they come for one thing. Now, each of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. There is no such thing as a private spiritual gift. God gifts us as His children. He gifts us for the purpose of service to strengthen you and to strengthen the body that He has placed you into. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, you have been given the gift of the Spirit, because nobody who's a Christian doesn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. This isn't a second work of grace that takes place somewhere down the road. If you're a Christian, you have the gift of the Spirit living in you, and you have at least one gift from the Spirit given for the purpose of service. He has gifted you so that you can work together with others for the common good of His body, of His ecclesia, of His church. And every church has everything they need. And the reason you don't often see that is because every church who has everything they need doesn't have everybody they need serving where they need to serve. Dr. Charles Stanley said this, most of us are quick to declare our love for God, but at times our reluctance to serve Him tells a different story. Honestly consider whether you have ever found yourself saying or thinking, I love you, Lord, but don't call me to do that. Or perhaps you served Him but with a flawed attitude. If no one else will do it, then I guess I'll do it. Now, what causes us to be reluctant in service? What causes us to be reluctant in service? One of the things I think that causes us to be reluctant in service is, quite frankly, we are busy. We're busy people. And when we get so busy that we allow no space for the Lord to work in us, then you know, we've got a problem. Every one of us needs breathing room. We need margins in our life. And these modern conveniences that we have, you know, they're wonderful things to have, but I'll tell you, they can steal time from us quicker than anything else, because there's never any downtime. Every once in a while, Myra will get on me at home because I'm be sitting at home and, you know, we'll be trying to relax together. And there I am working on my iPad, doing stuff for the church, answering questions, looking at emails. She says, put it down. Sometimes, you know, we feel we're just too busy to serve. Another reason that we don't serve is we might feel inadequate. We might feel inadequate. Surely, surely, surely there is someone out there who is more gifted than me to do this particular job. And what you need to understand is, you know, that's kind of an excuse that is very common, because the Lord always equips those he calls. He always equips those he calls. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians, the second letter that Paul writes to these Corinthians, he says this. He said, not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers. Excuse me. Made me competent as a speaker. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. So don't feel that, you know, you are inadequate. God will give you the grace that you need. And here's what I know. He never does it before the fact. He always does it when we're in the fact. God never gives you the grace that you need before the circumstance. So if you're waiting to see, you know, okay, I'm waiting, and when I feel competent, then I will do it. You will never feel competent. I will tell you what, I've been preaching since 1968. Every time I get up here, I feel inadequate. I just do. Because it's not me. And it could never be me. If you are waiting to feel competent, you will never do anything. You know, another reason that sometimes we don't serve, quite frankly, is just selfishness. You know, this is about me. You know, I come to church to sit and to soak. It's about me. You're here to meet my needs. And you need to understand something. If you're going to serve, it may require that you change your plans, that you give up some of your comforts, that you take a chance, or worse, you make a financial sacrifice. Ooh, you know pastor's always going to get to that, right? Another reason that we don't serve, quite frankly, is simply a lack of love. We don't really care. And this is the hardest one for every one of us to admit. We just don't care enough. And sometimes our reluctance to serve reveals a lack of devotion to the Lord that we say that we love. Remember the guys who came to Christ? Lord, I'm going to follow you, but first let me go take care of this issue. I'll get around to it, but not right now. And God says, you can't follow me with that attitude. Those who love the Lord joyfully serve the Lord. So are you quick to follow the Lord's leading when the need arises? Or do you find yourself saying, you know, well, let somebody else do it? I really don't care about that. That's not, you know, I'm not there. Do you serve? Or do you excuse? Are you quick to follow the Lord's leading when a need arises? Or are you a reluctant servant who's preoccupied with your own plans and desires? All about me. Any service that you offer in Jesus' name will not go unrewarded. My favorite verse, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And here's what I know. When you serve, you grow. When you serve, you grow. So let me challenge you. Don't just sit in a chair. Get involved somewhere. Don't just sit in a chair. Get involved somewhere. And I promise you this, it will benefit you. It will benefit you. You will begin to grow. And not only will it benefit you, but it will benefit those that you serve. It's like exercise. You know, it doesn't mean no good to sit in front of my TV and watch the exercise program and come away and say, man, that felt good. It doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do me any good to go to the baseball game and watch guys run themselves ragged and say, man, I feel so much better now. Whew, got my exercise. No, if you want to stay healthy, if you want to grow stronger, if you want to lose weight, you have got to get involved in exercise. You've just got to do it. I'm speaking to myself here. Got to get rid of the excuses and get on your bike. And those of you who know me know I'm talking to myself. And just do it. You've got to get up and get involved if you are going to stay healthy, if you're going to lose weight, if you're going to grow stronger physically. You've got to get up and get involved if you are going to stay healthy, if you're going to grow stronger, if you're going to go somewhere spiritually as well. And if it's not here, it should be somewhere in the community. There are plenty of opportunities in the community to get involved and served. And I'll tell you this, when you do that, you will be glad that you did, because it does something inside of you. It changes your heart. It changes your attitude. And you will be blessed, and those who you serve will be blessed. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the next step. And we're going to help you do that. You know, normally I tell you, you know, back on the resource table, there's a sign-up sheet, and you can go and you can sign up there, and then nobody goes and signs up there because nobody knows where the resource table is, or because it's kind of out of the way. So today what we're going to do is we are going to have some sign-up sheets. We got four of them out there, so you don't have to stand in line even. We've got four of them out there for you to put your name on the dotted line. Actually, it's not a dotted line. It's a solid line. And I want you to know this. You are not committing yourself to serve. What you are doing is you are committing yourself to explore the possibility of service. That's all we're asking you to do. Just think about serving. And on March 28th, we're going to have a training program and a catered breakfast, thanks to Sharon Wilson. A catered breakfast where we're going to talk to you about our guest services team. And we're getting ready to revamp that whole area. And we would like to give you a chance to get involved, and there's no easier way to get involved than get started in guest services. And again, the only thing you're doing, if you sign that paper, the only thing you're doing is you're making a commitment to be here for the meeting and to explore possibilities. You'll also notice on there that we have a couple of things. We have option one, option two. And if you have an idea where you might like to serve, and you can fill that in as well, or you can wait till you come to the meeting, hear some of the opportunities that we're going to have here, and get involved. And I want you to know this. I don't want something from you. I really don't. I really don't. But I do want something for you. And I know from personal example that my greatest growth comes when I'm busy serving others. It's been that way since the beginning. And so when you take that step, you will begin to grow. You will grow healthy spiritually. You know, we've got a lot of Christians who have grown old spiritually, but they've not grown up spiritually. It's because they've not served. They've not taken the next step and gotten involved. But if you'll do that, it'll benefit you. And if you do that, I promise you this. I promise you. You will be blessed. You'll say, why didn't I do this sooner? So, that's what we have. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your goodness and for your grace and for your mercy and for your love. And thank you that the King of the universe did not come to be served, but to serve. And thank you that you tell us in your word that the student is not above his masters. And if you came to serve, then we should serve. And I pray that you'll speak to each heart. Speak to my heart, Lord. Help us to find that margin in our life that we need to step away from the busyness and from all of the excuses and start to look for that place where, like the hand in the glove, is the perfect fit. And we can grow, and we can be blessed, and we can bless others in the process. So, Lord, we just commit this to you right now in your name and ask you to speak to each heart that's here today, including mine, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, normally we have an invitation. This is not quite an invitation type of thing, but we are going to do the invitation. Joey and Sharon are going to lead us in. If God is speaking to you and you want to respond, perhaps to this message, perhaps something else God is speaking you to, you can come to the altar, pray. If you want someone to pray with you, we have volunteers, people who are trained to come and help carry your burden, because we shouldn't have to carry our burdens by ourselves. So if you come to this side, someone who's trained as a volunteer is going to come and help carry your burden. If you come to this side, you can come and deal with whatever you need to deal with between you and the Lord. And but here's what I know. You don't have to leave here carrying the burden that you brought in this morning. Leave it at the foot of the cross. Joey? there's any way that we can serve you, please feel free to let us know. We are here to help in any way that we can. Let me just mention, again, as you're leaving, there'll be people out in the back with sign-up things. I want you to consider, you're not committing to actually serving. All you're doing is saying, I want to explore this possibility. So I want to encourage you to fill out that form, because we need to have a count of how to prepare breakfast, by the way, so that's a little bit double duty there. Also, if you would like to give but you weren't prepared to give, there's a white balloon out there. You can go out there by that balloon. You can give by credit card or debit card. It's easy. It's quick. I would say it's painless, but that depends on your attitude about giving. So we'll go leave it at that. But anyhow, okay, we're going to pray, and then you can be dismissed. And now may grace and mercy and peace be upon all of those who truly love our Lord and Savior, who long for his appearing, in whose name we pray. Amen.